So Christ might want to invade your space. How hard is it? I think about Mary, and then I think about this old black and white movie they made years and years ago called Miracle on 32nd Street. You remember that one? Where the Santa Claus, this guy that played Kris Kringle with the white beard, he shows up at Macy's, and his whole thing is he's trying to convince people he's Santa Claus, right? That's the Miracle on 32nd Street. And he meets this little skeptical girl, and his whole mission is, if I can convince this one little girl that I'm Santa Claus, maybe there's chance for the whole world. And so he sets out in the whole movie doing things. He's like, see, look at the signs. I've got a real white beard, and go ahead and tug on the beard. My name's Kris Kringle. That's my name. See? And all of these different signs and wonders he does, and then the movie continues and goes on and on of him trying to convince this poor little skeptical girl whose mom says there's no such thing. When it's all said and done, she says, I wished for this house. And they're driving along and they see the house. And she says, stop the car. And they run up to the house and they run into the house. I mean, just run into strangers' houses because that's what people do. And she goes into the house, right? And then she gets in the house and they follow. And what are you doing? And it's just exactly what I wished for. It's exactly what I told him. All the signs are there. And there's a cane. And there's this cane right in the corner. Another sign. This must be true. And she says, and I know in the backyard there's a swing. Just the way I asked. And sure enough, she runs out there, and there's the swing. And this little girl believes. And now we have another person trying to convince a girl. Think about this. Hey, Mary, you have some explaining to do to your fiancé, Joe. Honey, I've got to tell you something. I'm pregnant. Really? But it's not what you think. She's having a mom and dad. I mean, she comes home and she tells her dad, trust me, dads, that Joe is a dead man. No, it's not mine. Honey, you are so grounded. You've got this little girl who's trying to tell, and it's not even so much convincing her mom and dad, because she's got to tell them, oh, by the way, I got pregnant, but I've never had relations. Oh, by the way, an angel showed up in my room last night. And, oh, by the way, what's growing inside of me is God. Okay, honey, we're not going to tell anybody this stuff, okay? You're just going to kind of be really, really quiet, and we're going to get you some nice medicine. God's inside of your stomach, right? Yeah. It's not even so much mom and dad, it's not even so much her fiancé, Joe, that she's got to convince. Just like you and me today. Here it is, God trying to convince a little girl. Think about Mary. Was she really just going, God says, hey, by the way, I'd like to go ahead and tell you you're pregnant, you're going to have the Son of God and all this stuff. And she just went, oh, okay. How much convincing, how many signs and wonders. And so you have these things, and Mary starts processing in her mind. God shows up with an angel and says, oh, by the way, Mary, the virgin, who are highly favored of God, are going to have a baby. And in her mind, she's going, wait a minute. Oh, there's signs. And so she gets this sign in Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible tells us that the virgin, I think we have that, don't we? Isaiah chapter 9? Chapter 7, there we go. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. There's the sign. There's the swing in the backyard. There's the cane. The virgin will be a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, El in the Hebrew, is God. Jehovah, God with us. And she goes, oh, 580 years ago, God said a virgin's going to be a child. And she starts processing these signs, and they start just flooding her mind. And as a young Jewish girl, she knows all of the stories. 300 different prophecies. And so the virgin will be a child, and she's got to process that. Because you see, as she's processing this, she goes, okay, that's me. And then in Micah, the Bible says in the book of Micah, it says, but you, O Bethlehem, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins will be from old. And all of a sudden, she's processing that. She goes, I'm in Bethlehem. I'm on my way to Bethlehem, and I got there, and there's a big party going on, a census, and I found myself to be pregnant. And on and on. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet in captivity, in a place we know as Baghdad, back then it was Babylon, he gets another prophecy, and he says, for unto us a child will be born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wow. And this starts, just starts flooding her mind. Do you see this? And all of a sudden, this stuff, she starts processing this. And then there she is in a stable, and the Bible said a baby would be born in a stable in the most unlikely way. And then pretty soon, Herod starts killing all the children. And another prophecy, another sign was, and all the children, 2 years and younger, the boys will be slaughtered. And they'll be weeping, unlike you've ever heard before. And the mother will not be comforted. And then she starts thinking about other ones. And there's all of these, from 1,500 years, there's all of these stories and prophecies. And she starts processing as time goes on. And one says that there'll be these kings from Persia, from the east, and there'll be just herds of camels bringing treasures, and on those treasures will be gold, and they'll have frankincense and myrrh, and they come and they do it. And in her mind is just flooded. This is happening. This miracle of miracles is going on. And it just keeps going her whole life. And one will proclaim and go ahead of you, and he will proclaim the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. And this just keeps happening. A guy writes something in 1500 B.C., and he says, King David writes, and he says, your hands and your feet will be pierced. You'll be sold for 30 pieces of silver. They won't break a single bone in your body. Your arms will be out of joint. Your mouth will be dry. They'll pierce your side, and they'll gamble for your clothes. Well, there weren't even Romans back then, and crucifixion hadn't even been invented, and all of this stuff, and she's just watching this before her very eyes. And God steps into our world, and 100% God and 100% man and the hypostatic union explode and collide in B.C. and A.D. In first service, I said, in AC/DC, I think. And it just comes in. And just in the greatest explosion of power, God himself invades a girl. And she says, yes. And over 300 prophecies. Do you know how convinced she was that growing inside of her stomach was Jesus, the Son of God? God with us, Emmanuel. And she had to be a virgin. She knew. She's got to process and go, wait a minute. Yeah. The Son of God has to be perfect. If he's not perfect, he's not the Son of God. So he can't have a father, because the Bible says in Romans, through the one man, Adam, all men are sinners, and from birth were sinners. So it had to be from a virgin. And so Christ was born perfectly. And she's just processing this stuff. Emmanuel, God with us. And she's just going, this is it. And so today, see, we think it's about a birthday. You and I mean, our world today says, oh, it's a birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And folks, we couldn't be any further from the truth of what happened 2,000 years ago. It wasn't about a birthday. It was about the greatest rescue mission ever conceived in the history of mankind. See, when he was born, God said, call him Jesus. He will save us from our sins. You see, we walk around buying birthday cakes and birthday presents, and we act like there's this huge party. And the problem is, it's not a party. We want to have this party, and God says, I want to rescue and save you. Why are you throwing these birthday parties? Remember, it's a rescue mission. I got to stop. I'm going to get to preaching. I don't want to preach this morning. I really don't. I'm going to just kind of get fired up, because we live in a world that's throwing this birthday party, and somehow, as though somehow this is our world, and yet God says, I want to rescue and save you from sin. You live in a world that's full of sin. There are sinners in this world, and I need you to be rescued. Why are you throwing birthday parties in the sinking boat? Why are you acting like this is it and you're buying in? You're being held captive, and just like someone who kidnaps someone and holds them prisoner, you fall in love with your captor. The world has fallen in love And that's not unusual when those kind of things happen. I think the world, the church, and people have just fallen in love with the captor. It's true. And we throw a birthday party instead of a rescue mission. Instead of throwing presents, we ought to throw ropes and life jackets. And we ought to say, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And we act like we're not lost. The world acts like it's just a big celebration and party. And God's trying to say, this world isn't yours. It's full of sin. It's broken. It's messed up. I'm already preparing a place. It's time to move on. I've got something better. I want to save you. The U-Haul truck is backing up. And you're throwing a birthday party in a house that's on fire. And you don't want to move. Well, guess what, folks? Moving day is coming, and we need to quit falling in love with our captors. It's true. And the captor just wants to control us. We live in a world where everybody wants to be controlled. I don't know why. We have controllers all around us. We have Xbox controllers. We have TV controllers. We have computer controllers. And it just controls us. You don't think it's true? Just ask people the last time you led someone out of that darkness and into the light. You ask when the church has done that. The church used to do this. They used to not throw big, giant birthday parties. They used to rescue people, and 5,000 got saved in a day, and 3,000 got saved in a day, and churches popped up, and people didn't question the power and the authority of God. Today, you can't even hardly talk about God, and the controller will shut you up. You don't think it's true? Talk to the Duck Boys. Oh, has that hit the news? Pastor, what do you think? I've just about had it. I thought, you've just about had it? I had it a long time ago. We live in a world where, listen, you can have your religions, but you can't have your voice. You can have your thoughts, but don't you dare say anything because the controller wants to control you. Trust me. I mean, we have people that live in the church that say, we just fall in love with our captor. I'm not so much on my way to load up the U-Haul to move into a glorious place called heaven. I'm not moving on and rescuing people. I'm throwing a big birthday party, and I've got the controller. And I sit and spend most of my time playing games. I sit on the computer, and I've got a controller. And I sit and play on the controller, and I watch stuff on the computer that I shouldn't be watching because the controller controls. I turn on TV, and I watch everything everybody else does. And I get caught up in what we call reality TV. And, oh, there's a whole other new reality TV. They got preacher's daughter's reality TV. They got preachers from L.A. They got this, and this, and they got these guys' wives and those guys' wives. And they got the cooking, and they got the bartending, and they got the housing, and we got everything. We are so controlled. We're just caught up into a world. And we've fallen in love with the controller. Now I'm preaching. But folks, and the minute you say anything, you want to know if you're under control? Because the minute you say anything, the minute you even lip out and say, you know what, I believe this about the Bible, they're going to shut you down. I mean, this whole Phil Robertson thing and the Duck Dynasty, God bless those boys. I don't really watch them. I think they're great. I think that whatever they do well. And in fact, their Christmas CD has outsold Miley Cyrus. It's outsold, I think, Josh Groban this year. And I'm thinking, these guys, what do they have, duck quacks on this thing? And people are buying this. Really? Well, why are they buying it? Because I think people are caught up in whatever it is they're caught up. And one guy gets asked a question, what do you think about marriage? Now, listen, God bless him for whatever he thinks about marriage. He quoted the Bible, and there may have been some other stuff. But here's the deal. You aren't allowed and permitted to say these things because the controller will... We live in a world where we're afraid to stand and take a conviction and say, this is what I believe. If you don't believe it, that's fine. But this is what my Bible says. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I think premarital sex is wrong. I think lying is still wrong. I think cheating is still wrong. I don't think you should steal. I think that's still wrong. I think you should be accountable for your actions. I think that's right. I think God loves us. I think Jesus died for us. I think Jesus is the only way to heaven. I think Jesus is the Savior of the world. I think Jesus is the King of Kings. I think that. But we live in a world where you can't even say that in church because the controller wants to have you fall in love with him. And if a pastor says that in our world, he gets put down in his own church. Well, God help us. There, I'm done preaching. So Mary's sitting there, and God says, hey, guess what? I want to tell you something. I want to impregnate you. I want you to have a baby. He's going to be God. You're going to give birth to him. He's going to die. He's going to go and be dead for 3 days, and I'm going to raise him from the dead, and he's going to save you from your sin. What do you think of that? Okay. How am I going to tell my folks? Seriously, what was she going through? Miracle of miracles. If I were to try to even come close to telling you what all of these prophecies, and she knew it, over 300 things, I mean, words and things. I mean, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. David wrote in Hebrew. In Aramaic, Jesus spoke it. David wrote it in Hebrew. Jesus spoke it in Aramaic, and the disciples went, he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me on a cross? Weird. That's Psalm 22 from 1,500 years ago. And it goes on to say, Bashan bulls are surrounding me. I have been pierced in my hands and my feet. They're casting lots for my garment. And they looked around that cross and went, holy smokes, he's the Son of God. Who can make this stuff up? And in the middle of all that, if I were to make something up, that's like saying, oh, hey, listen, in 580 years, a car is going to drive across Range Road. I'm sorry, a hovercraft is going to go across Range Road. It's going to lose its flux capacitor energy. It's going to flip over on the interstate. A semi, a garbage truck from Canada, which are still going to be there in 586 years, is going to be driving along with mattresses that they couldn't get rid of in our landfill. And the car's going to fall and cushion there. Three guys from Detroit, from the big three auto plants, are going to walk up and say, hey, I'm going to give you all the money in my checkbook. Hey, I'm going to give you a brand new house. Hey, I'm going to give you this and this. And three guys are going to do this, and their names are Peter, Paul, and John. And you say, you're crazy. Now, that's three prophecies. And, oh, by the way, on the other side of the street, a yellow beetle is going to spin into 15 circles, and there's two dogs in the back. And the one is going to give birth to seven puppies, three black, three white, and one brown. And the brown one's going to jump out, run across the street, and bark three times. And somebody standing there is going to go, holy cow, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Birds are flying upside down. That's about seven prophecies that absolutely make no sense. And yet every one of these things happened 300 times plus, and Jesus came and fulfilled every one of them. And Mary went, you got it. Son of God, that's a no-brainer. This is way too easy. And you know what? I don't think God has to convince a little girl anymore. I think he's trying to convince the church, because I'm not sure the church even is buying this stuff. And folks, if you can't buy this stuff, do not approach a holy God who is powerful enough to change your circumstance in just a simple breath that comes out of his lungs, and stars appear in a universe that never changes, that scientists look at and go, how did that get here? I think somebody lit a firecracker 20 billion years ago. How do you know that? Just sounds good. Explosion is chaos. And we live in a world of control. And so there's Mary. There's Mary. And Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, why, you can be sure that lamb was sure to go. It even followed her. I know. It even followed her to school one day, which was against the rules. And the children laughed and played to see such a sight at their school. That happened in 1789. A girl named Mary actually took a lamb to school, and that poem was written by a visiting teacher who was a Christian. And then in 1890, Thomas Edison put it to words for the first time. Mary had a little lamb. Come on, brother. Mary had a little lamb. I believe it with all my heart. But could you imagine what was going through her mind, what she saw in those 33 years, watching that little lamb who never left grow up? Go ahead, Paul.
Your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has to make you new. This child that you deliver would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb must speak the praises of the Lamb. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
So Mary had this lamb. As we go from this place, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, they had a tradition in the temple. On the Day of Atonement, in the seventh month in the Jewish calendar, the priest brought in two perfect lambs, two goats. They'd bring them in, they'd draw lots, and one goat was for Jehovah and the other goat for Azazel. Azazel means the scapegoat. And on the one, they would give it to God, and they would offer it up on the temple at the altar, and they would take the blood and sprinkle it over the altar to say, for the sacrifice and the sins of the priest to prepare. The other goat, the priest would lay his hands on the Azazel, the scapegoat. And as he would lay his hands on that, he would say, for your sins, for your sins, for all of your sins, for all of your family, and for all of your sins, for your husbands and wives, for your children, your sons and daughters, I lay their sins upon this goat. And then they would send it out into the wilderness as far away as they could. And that goat would carry, that lamb would carry the sins away, the Azazel. And John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, that we read about in the story we had, Elizabeth was pregnant, she who was barren. John the Baptist, standing at the Jordan River, gets his eyes on Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb, the Azazel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I don't know if you've ever met that Lamb. Can I tell you, 30 years ago, he changed my life. He has carried my sins as far as the east is from the west. And he also became the Jehovah Lamb for me. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and his blood sacrifice pays my penalty, and he makes me new every day. I hope you've met him. You see, Christmas isn't a birthday party. It's a rescue mission. And it's a pretty good one. So, let's stand together. My benediction is that you take a rope with you this year. Take a life jacket, a rescue buoy, whatever it is, take it into the world and offer people the rescue that Jesus Christ has to offer. Nothing wrong with a birthday party now and then. Nothing wrong with a present. But remember, Christ came to be Emmanuel, God with us, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, let this be our benediction. God, 2014, I believe, is the breakthrough year. That God, as we seek you with all of our heart, this Christmas is special. Because God, we are preparing our hearts for Christ, for our children, our family, our relatives to see Christ themselves. This is the time when we want to see financial breakthrough. This is the time for the healing, as Isaiah said, your healing will quickly appear. God, let it happen. Let that be so. If not, let us close the doors and find another religion, because then, God, we are simply a religion. God, let that not be so. Let our benediction be, and the Christ, Emmanuel, is with us. Now go and change the world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.